Carbon forms the backbone of life on Earth. It is a wonder element. By changing the atomic structure of its bulk, it produces some wildly varying and dramatic electrical and physical properties. Pure carbon exists in two natural forms, both crystalline, but radically different. There is soft, black graphite and hard, glittering diamond. Graphite is formed at room temperatures and pressures and is a soft, black material that is commonly used in our pencils. But it is also an excellent conductor of electricity. Diamond, on the other hand, is formed deep underground at much higher temperatures and pressures and is transparent, insulating and extremely rigid. These two materials are so completely opposite because their carbon atoms are arranged into different structures. Carbon has four outer electrons which are made available for bonding. In diamond, each of these outer electrons is tightly bonded with a neighbouring carbon atom. This means that each carbon atom is connected to four other carbon atoms, making an overall rigid three-dimensional hexagonal structure. As it has no free electrons remaining, it cannot conduct any electricity, making it a very good insulator. In contrast, graphite is made up of two-dimensional sheets of carbon atoms arranged into hexagons, stacked one on top of the other. Each carbon atom is only bonded to three other carbon atoms, leaving one electron per atom free to move around and conduct electricity. The individual layers of carbon atoms do not interact very strongly, allowing them to easily move across each other, giving graphite its characteristic softness. Over the last few decades, however, researchers have started producing new engineered forms of carbon, including spherical buckyballs and long cylindrical nanotubes. Both these materials bring novel properties to the table, but none as exciting as those held by graphene, the latest addition to this group. Graphene is essentially a single atom thick layer of graphite, making it about a million times thinner than a piece of paper, stronger than diamond, and a better electrical conductor than copper. Its improved conduction comes about because of quantum effects. Quantum theory of materials states that free electrons in metals and semiconductors act more like waves than particles, allowing them to spread more throughout the material. In graphene, the hexagonal-shaped lattice forms a destructive wave pattern. This has a similar effect to the electrons losing their mass, and as a result, allows them to travel through the material at speeds close to that of light. What is more amazing is that graphene can, in theory, be layered up to form a conductive and transparent film, which could be used on many modern devices as touchscreens. Nobody would have ever guessed how much of an impact things like smartphones would have had on our daily lives. Those who have previously shied away from computers and the internet now have the ability to carry one around in their pockets. One of the key components of the smartphone is the display, which is mostly constructed from indium tin oxide, ITO. ITO is a transparent material that also conducts electricity. These are two features which make it ideal for smartphone displays. Whilst fulfilling these requirements, however, it is also brittle and the supplies are running out. The need for a replacement material is becoming paramount. Dr. Saverio Russo and Dr. Monica Krakian at the University of Exeter's Centre for Graphene Science started working on graphene in 2007 and have now developed a new material called Graphexeter, a form of graphene.
Well, very much in the early days was actually 2007. When I started to work on graphene, and also when Monica started to work on graphene, was about the same time. So we pioneered quite a few things in different fundamental aspects of the physics of graphene. And then we moved actually to Japan, and we brought graphene to the University of Tokyo, and there we actually managed to pioneer also some properties of few-layer graphene already in the direction of using it as a highly conductive material in integrated circuits. And only 2 years ago, we joined the Center for Graphene Science here at Exeter. And since then, the main goal has been basically to try to make use of graphene for some applications in home appliances or electronics. And the most common aspects or common thinking is that graphene is just a single layer of carbon atoms, so highly conductive and transparent. Therefore, the natural application would be to use this material as a transparent electrode. However, it was clear to each one of us in the scientific community that the electrical conductivity of graphene was not that great, and there is a bunch of materials nowadays that were outperforming graphene greatly. This work was only possible because we have lots of complementary expertise here at Exeter, and you really need to know some tricks about material science, and this is where Monica excels, and she thought that actually she could introduce some molecules in between the planes of few layer graphene, like two or three layers, and introduce these molecules in between the planes. You just take the bulk graphite that comes out of Mother Nature, and you just can also do a liquid intercalation of this. That's the technical word for this stuffing of molecules in between the planes. Or you can just put the powder of this graphite next to powder of iron chloride, just heat it up a little bit. And these molecules, they just naturally migrate in between the planes of the graphite. And then you get basically the graphexate by exfoliating it to a few layers. So it's all very simple in our case. These molecules would actually give charge or take charge to graphene and therefore enhance the electrical properties. And this is when we had a breakthrough. So the graphexate then became the best conducting and transparent material.
The molecule that Risser and Krakian introduced into graphene is called ferric chloride, or iron chloride, which is commonly used in industry. It is extremely cheap to buy and can often be found in any circuit boards you have lying around at home. So why use it in graphene? What makes it so useful?
Well, it has some physical parameters such that when in contact with graphene, it's actually taking out some electrons and introducing some holes. These are the technical words for it. Basically, it just makes it more conductive, makes this few layer graphene much more conductive. And what's so special about this iron chloride or ferric chloride? Nothing at all. It's actually the what is it used to etch the PCBs, the circuit boards, copper circuit boards. And it's a very cheap thing to buy, very widespread in electronics industries.
Ferric chloride does not only enhance the conductive properties of graphene, it also improves the optical properties, making it useful in other industries.
Another plus of this material is that it's not just transparent in the visible light, but it's also transparent in the infrared and terrors, for instance. Therefore, as applications, this widens up the spectrum of, for instance, light harvesting in solar panels, also to wavelengths of light, which are not actually used nowadays. Because the ITO, indium tin oxide, which is the most commonly used by display companies, for instance, or other companies, for that is a transparent electrode, it's actually not transparent in the infrared, whereas this graphexate material is transparent. And this would not block this radiation, these other wavelengths. And therefore, you could enhance the efficiency of light harvesting in these devices.
Light harvesting is a form of collecting light, or collecting energy, very similar to the solar panels available today. These panels are limited by the fact that they can only collect light at specific frequencies, as the transparent layer lying on top of the electrodes filters out everything else. But by using graphexate, you collect visible light, but also light of other frequencies.
Typically, what you would need is actually, for light harvesting, a top electrode, an electrode that covers the whole panel, and that it's actually transparent, but it's still conductive, so that you can use it to contact the stacking of material that is actually the active material that catches the light. And you could take electricity out from the front of the panel and also from the back of the panel. Obviously, the back of the panel, it doesn't matter, it can be as opaque as you want. But the front of the panel, you need a very transparent electrode. So if you actually block the sunlight wavelength in the infrared, for instance, because your electrode is not transparent over a very wide range of wavelength, then essentially you are not able to harvest electricity on those wavelengths in which your electrode is opaque. That's the case nowadays with several of these transparent electrodes. They are only transparent in very narrow bands of the light that is coming from the sun. The material that we have synthesized here is actually transparent over a very wide range of wavelengths, and in particular, as I said, also in the far infrared. More light would be able to pass, more wavelengths would be able to pass, so you would be able to harvest electricity over many more wavelengths of the light that is coming from the sun.
Graphene science is one of the fastest evolving areas of research in physics at the moment.
We are working really hard, so the prediction that we have is that within a year we should be able to demonstrate the feasibility of this material into a solar panel application.
By exploring complex material physics and blending it with everyday materials, Dr. Russo and Dr. Krakian have developed a new material that has many potentials.
That's the beauty of all this project, that we are using a very simple materials, easy to find, low cost, and yet we found the most transparent and highly conductive material.